All right, it's 3 o'clock. Let's get started. Got a good crowd here today. Try to make every minute of it worth it for you. This is Tips and Tricks for Building Rich Reports in SQL Server 2012 Reporting Services. My name is Bob Myers. I'm a Senior Program Manager on the Reporting Services team, and there are a lot more of you here today than there are of me. And I actually can't see some of you very well through this big screen, so I apologize. You're just going to have to enjoy the screens on the side. That's probably better looking anyway. So let's get started. The objective for this session, after this, you'll be able to design reports that encourage immediate understanding and make insights pop. So that's what I'm going to help you learn about today. We're going to do four things to try to accomplish that. First thing is to talk about how to use a Tablex to organize data when you're presenting it in your report. Then we'll talk about using graphics and colors to emphasize data. Then we'll spend a little bit of time talking about choosing the right visual to help, depending on what you're trying to communicate. And finally, just a handful of additional tricks that I think you'll find handy. So we'll get to those near the end. So let's get started. Today's sample data will be about lettuce. This is courtesy of the United States Department of Agriculture. This is real data. It's all about lettuce production in the United States over the last 50 years or so. So if you've ever wondered about this, today you're going to learn about it. All right? Raise your hand if you like lettuce. Uh-oh. That was a lot of hands. Maybe I should have picked Twinkies or something. I don't know. Ever like Twinkies? I don't know. My wife's been really big on lettuce lately, so that's what I picked. All right. So let's get started on how to use a Tablex to organize data. Tablex is a grid structure that you can use in reporting services to organize and present your data. The most common structure of a Tablex is a simple table. So like any Tablex, this one has rows and columns, a bunch of rows, a bunch of columns. The first row is kind of a header row, just got some labels in it. And then there are these other rows we call a row group. And they all have the same structure as the top one, but then it just repeats showing different data values. Okay, so there's a row up top, and then there's a row group below it. The data in each row of this table may correspond to individual rows that were returned from your query, or they may be aggregated. You can see in this example, we have one row for Arizona, and it's showing totals, sums or averages or something, from multiple rows in the query results. So that's pretty straightforward. So let me just demo that real quick. Bring up Report Builder. There is my U.S. lettuce production in the 1960s. We'll just look at that decade. Here's my connection to my lettuce data source, and here's my data set. I've got a bunch of data about lettuce here. So I'm going to do things the old-fashioned way. You can use the wizard if you want, but I want to make sure everybody here knows how. This is a 300-level course. I want everybody here to know how to do it this way, because there's a lot more options and flexibility once you learn how to work with it directly. So here's a table, and I'm just going to drag in state and then production. Now, before we even try to run this, let me just take a look and see what happened here. You see, the first row here, it's just got some labels in it. And then the second row has this orange bracket on it, right? This is a row group. And what's it showing? It's showing details. You can see down here under the row groups, it says this is going to show details. And this little three dash icon, that's what that means. It means you're going to see every row in the result, query results here. So let's go ahead and run it. And waiting. That's exactly what we get. A bunch of rows about Arizona showing production data from different years. Okay, so we didn't actually want to see all the individual rows. We wanted to aggregate this. So let's look at how to do that. I'm going to right-click up here and delete this column that has state in it. And instead of dragging state into the table, I'm going to drag it down here to row groups and create a group outside of the details here. So now first thing you notice is that there's a new thing down here called state, and that there's an extra bracket out here now, and you can see there's a kind of a stack of stuff growing out here. There's this bracket around it, and then the details on the inside. And you can see that there's two of those brackets in here. There's also this freeway kind of dotted lines here. That's because there's two different areas of the tablets that we're working with here. The right side, where we started, is the body of the tablex, and on the left side is what we call the row grouping area. So over here, you get some interesting things you can do, and I'll show you that right now. This is a spanning cell that will end up spanning all the rows that come back for that inside that row group value. So all the rows for Arizona get one cell that spans them. If that's the layout and the look that you want, then this is what you use the row grouping area to do that. So for my next trick, we saw it was spanning these, but you're trying to get rid of the details, right? So let's go down to this details thing and just delete it. Now, we don't want to delete any of the rows and columns, we just want to get rid of the group itself. So you see that little bracket just went away right there, and it's gone down here. So now when I run it, I've got one row per state now. That's good. Except my production values, that's not being aggregated at all yet. It's still just, it's actually just picking the first value, which isn't what we want either. So we'll click right there and right-click on the placeholder, this placeholder that's there for the data values. And I'm going to change it to summarize by sum. So now you can see it says sum production instead of production. So now when I run it, we get what we're looking for here. Summary production across the different states. So what if we wanted to have multiple levels of these row groups? We could easily just add in year here, drag it down right below state, and it would get inserted. You see where the freeway lines moved to? It got inserted into the row grouping area. And you also see where the bracket is. And now when we run it, it's going to break out the production by year within each state. Now what if we wanted to see the totals? Well, that's pretty easy too. We could just right click here on this year thing and say add a total, or you could go down here, do the same thing, add a total. And there it is. We'll get totals for each state across the whole decade of the 1960s. So that's just a little bit about how to work with the tablex. How to work with the tablex when you're just creating a simple table. So let's go back to presentation here and talk about what else you can do with a tablex. Well, tablex is also a matrix. And this matrix, we see it has the same structure, same row structure as the table we were just looking at, but now it has something analogous on the column area. There's a fixed column and then this row group that repeats for each of the years. In this case, we get one column for each year. But that's just the beginning. You're not restricted to this particular structure. You can just as easily add more column groups on either side or in between, and build out the structure that you want. For instance, we could just add three more columns in here to the left side of the column group, and now you've got something that's a combination of a table and a matrix. So pretty much any grid-like structure that you can imagine, you can create with the table. It's just by adding rows and columns and paying attention to where you have your row groups defined, your groups defined. So let me show you how to do that. Hold on just a second. All right, so I'm building a matrix. I'm just going to delete this table here and start over again. You see when I insert a matrix, now there's no details thing anymore because matrix by default is just going to assume you're trying to aggregate. So that's a quick way to get things started that way if that's what you're going to do. I'm going to drag state in here in the rows. See state shows up down there. And we'll grab year over here to columns. Then I'm going to grab production, put it in the data, in the body. You can see there's freeway lines going both ways. And now I have a matrix. Let's just make this bold just for fun. And we'll run it and see what we get. There it is, broken out by state on rows and by year on columns. You can see it's providing all the production values in this big grid. I'm actually going to make this column a little narrower because we don't really need it to be quite that wide. Okay. Now, just to prove that there's not really any magic going on here when you start with a matrix, I'm going to delete this one and recreate the exact thing from my table. I'm just going to undo back to my beautiful table. Remember how we made this? There was nothing going on in columns here, right? So I'm going to delete this right here because we're going to put that somewhere else. Yeah, you can go ahead and delete this, that too. I'll delete this total row here that I had. And then I'm just going to drag year down over here. I've got a year group. Now my labels are kind of in the funny places, so I'm just going to Control X, cut that, paste it up there, delete that, delete this column. See, you're just working with the grid, adding rows and columns, deleting rows and columns. And now, voila, I'm back to my matrix. So I just made that out of a table. So it's the same thing. You're always working with the same thing, no matter which one you start from. And you can always have all the options there that you're looking for. So let's add a few things to this. I'm going to add dragon planted right here. Say I wanted to do with those extra columns I was describing. If I add this right here, what it's going to do is create two columns that will repeat together underneath this column group. That's not actually what I want. I just wanted it by itself, right? So let me undo that. What I'm going to do is insert a column outside the group to the left. Okay. Now you can see that it's not inside the bracket, right? So this is just by itself. Now I can go here. Don't know if you know how to use this little guy. It's very handy. Just pick a field from it and put in planted. Now you see it added the aggregation by default because we're not showing details here at all. So when you add in a numeric field, it'll just automatically sum it just because it assumes that's probably what you're trying to do. So let's add another column in here. Let's just go ahead and drag it in this time. And this is harvested. What if I wanted to do a little ratio? Let me show you how to do that. So let's make this harvested percent. This is the number of acres that were harvested in that state relative to what was planted. So they might plant 100 acres and harvest 93, right? So let's right-click here and go to this expression. And all we got to do is just divide by something else. But just to be safe, I will use my cheat sheet and paste it in. Sum of harvested divided by sum of planted. And now since that's a percentage value, I'm going to hit the percent button to display it as such. I would like an extra decimal point, please. And let's run that. So you can see the different states have different ratios of how much they harvest relative to how much they plant. That could be due to weather or, bugs, pests, something like that. But there's definitely some variation there. Let's add another column here. This time I'm going to add yield in. And let's look at, I'm going to add production in again. And this time I'm going to do a percent of the total. This is always a common thing people like to do. And this is really easy to do in reporting services. So go down here and modify this expression. This one's even easier. All you do is divide this little formula by itself. Except the second one, you want the total at a higher scope. And in this case, you name the scope, which is TableX1. The percent of total across the whole TableX that I'm billing. So that's the name of my scope. And now when we do that, again, this should be a percent. We can scrunch that down a little bit. Let's run that and see what we get. All right, now we're seeing something interesting. Looks like California, in the 1960s at least, produced 61% of the lettuce that was consumed in the United States. Arizona is down there at 23, and everybody else is under 3%, looks like. So Back then, we got an awful lot of lettuce out of California. Turns out that's California and Arizona are about the only places that produce it now, more recently. But back then, there were a good 10, 15 states that would produce lettuce. Okay, so that's it for building matrix and a little bit about creating some simple formulas that are really common and useful. Let's go on now and talk about the next thing. Let's talk about how to use graphics and colors to emphasize data. Now, just organizing and presenting it is one thing, but helping people get out of it what they want them to get out of it is another thing. So here's our beautiful table that we just created. I'm going to use this to illustrate a number of tips and tricks that can help you emphasize the data and make insights really pop. So after we've talked through them, that'll go back and demonstrate how to do each one of them. So we're going to go for a little bit, and I'll just talk about them first. So the first thing we want to do is just get rid of the fluff. That's rule number one. Well, this thing's having trouble. I'm going to start using something else to move the next slide. No fluff, right? Fluff gets in the way. You really want people to focus on is the data. So some things that I've done here, I've used a thin font for the labels to keep things clean. I'm using space instead of lines to separate things. Space is actually a very good visual separator, and it's much cleaner than using lines. So for the most part, you can just get rid of all the lines. Just make sure you have enough space. I dim the labels because the labels are just for reference, and I mostly want people to look at the data. And I'm only using one accent color. I could use lots of color for lots of things, but I'm going to keep it simple and not do that. The primary reason is not that I hate color. It's because we want to use color later to help make those insights jump off the screen for us. Okay. So suppose there was a rule about harvested percent that said anything over 95% is good, and anything from 90 to 95 is okay. Anything below 90 was bad. Okay, so how could we visualize that? This is one way to do it, and these little colored circles are called indicators, and they help you visualize a rule. So some of the things to remember about visualizing rules is stick to the simple icons. There's a lot of choices of what icons to use, but the simple one, these colored circles are usually the best. So I generally recommend that. Now, suppose you don't want to visualize an actual rule that people are aware of already and want to see visualized on your report. Suppose you just want to convey the position a value has along a spectrum from good to bad. To do this, you can use a color scale. So color scales are similar to indicators, but the color changes gradually instead of abruptly at specific predefined thresholds. So here I've applied a color scale to a small rectangle next to the numeric value. And an easy way to do this is using the code from the link that you can't read at the bottom of the screen. But if you download the PowerPoint, you will be able to read it, and you even click on it and go and get that code. It's just a little bit of code you can paste into your report, and it lets you do color scales. So some tips to help you do it. Oh, just for example, this is what you end up putting in your formula to say to create the color scale value. So things to remember is keep the area small. Sometimes you'll see people use a lot of area for the color, but really doesn't take much to convey the meaning. So keep it small like this. Sometimes you'll see color applied like this to the whole cell, and that's okay, but just remember that it tends to dominate the overall visual. So you got to have a reason for doing that. This approach is most often used over a large area of a table to create what we call a heat map. So this is an example of applying a color scale to the whole matrix side of this table. And you can see how it makes trends and outliers and other things just really jump out. A heat map can be very effective. A third option is to apply the colors to the values themselves. So you see the numbers are now colored instead of the background behind them. Two more quick tips that will be relevant later as well. Remember to use lighter colors for fills and darker colors for lines and text. You may have thought I was using the same reds and greens here, but I wasn't. When I was using fills, they were lighter colors, and when I color the text here, it's actually darker red, darker yellow, darker green. Okay, enough about color. Let's talk about graphics you can use. Not enough about color. This is just an example of bad usage of color. You can see that if the background is too dark, then you can't read the text, or if the text is too light, then you can't read the text. So you got to be careful with those fills and lines. Okay, then we're enough about color. Let's talk about graphics. The right side of this table has a lot of data in it, and it can be intimidating to consume and to try to find what's interesting in there. The insights aren't really just jumping out at you immediately, are they? So there are some ways that we can do this. A heat map can help a lot with that. Another excellent approach is to use what we call a spark line. So this is a spark line, and you can see that's exact same data, just presented visually in a different way, and you can see how immediately you can see trends and movement over time and compare one state to another. It's very incredibly dense and very effective visual. A nice addition when you're doing this is to make the spark line expandable so you can see all those individual values if somebody wants to look drill into it. It's also nice to throw in a total or an average on the far side just to give you a feel for the overall number. So, some tips. If you're showing data over time, you should definitely consider using a spark line. That's what they're great at. Again, use simple colors. Grays are usually just fine. Make them expandable. As long as you're doing an interactive report, people are going to be consuming it interactively. This is a great option. You should think about whether you want to align the vertical axes or not. In this, if you do align them, then the people visually will be able to compare the magnitude of these little spark lines and not just the trends and movement over time. In this case, I actually did not choose to align the vertical axes. So each little chart has a different scale. And that's because California and Arizona are so much bigger than all the rest of them that if they all had the same scale, the rest of them would just be little flat lines and you couldn't see anything, right? So this you can choose with a spark line, do it or don't do it, but just think about it and decide which one makes the most sense for what you're doing. So let's look at another type of graphic called a data bar. To do this, I've added a new column called yield, which indicates how many hundreds of pounds of lettuce are produced per acre in that state. Underneath each value is a small bar that shows the magnitude visually. Notice how quickly you can scan through and compare the values for each state. Data bars are really good at this. I also took the liberty of using a color scale for the bar itself. This isn't showing anything new. It's colored based on the same value that the bar length is tied to. But it just helps to reinforce not just the magnitude of the value, but whether it's good or bad. So I have this dark, rich green color for high yields in California and Colorado, and I have this sickly yellow color for Florida, which for some reason down here, you get less than half the lettuce out of an acre than you do in some of these other states. Now, an insight that kind of pops out to me when I looked at this one was, how did Florida compete in this market when they're getting less than half the lettuce out of an acre that these other states were getting? I have no idea, but it's certainly an interesting thing to go look into. So some things to remember with data bars. Consider using color like I did to help reinforce the meaning of the data, not just the size or the magnitude of it. Data bars always have their axes aligned within by default, and so it's important in this case. Data bars don't make any sense if you don't have this, so don't turn it off. They need to be aligned all the way down so that the comparison is meaningful. There's also the option to use a stacked or 100% stacked data bars, which can show you multiple data points, data values within a single visual. And even those can be really great to show like ratios or mix, you know, as almost like a little slider between certain values. So here's another visual you can consider using. I'm not sure if there's a name for them, but I call them spark pies. right there to the right side of the percent of total. They have a simple purpose. They illustrate contribution to the whole or progress toward a target or something like that. They're very easy to scan visually, and they're effective at that one thing that they do. So a couple of things to remember when using these little spark pies is, again, use simple colors, same advice as for the other visuals. And you'll probably want to tweak them so that they start at 12 o'clock or straight up, because by default, pie charts always start at straight out to the right. And you have to tweak something. I'll show you how to do that. So this table structure is great for comparing the states to each other, because you can look at the values for each column, run down the column, and see how they change for different states. But what if that wasn't really the goal of your report? What if your goal was to help people focus on a single state and look at all the metrics there and just think about that for a minute, not so much comparison between states? A card, what we call a card structure, might actually be more appropriate for that. And this is still a Tablex, except it's very easy to create something like this. You just kind of add some more rows and move things around, and I'll show you how to do that. But it's what it gives you is a, kind of a one-stop, compact, everything you want to know about X kind of visual. In this case, everything you want to know about lettuce production in a particular state. So a few things to remember when using this card structure. It's really helpful to use a picture of some kind to strengthen the visual identity of each card. Here I used a little map that's auto-centered on the state that we're showing, and that helps visually identify the state. Also, use what I call butterfly alignment. You can see that the labels and the values are, the labels are right aligned and the values are left aligned. This keeps them tight together, and it helps people navigate visually all the values on the card. It's not so important to keep numbers right aligned like you usually do here, because the ones next to each other aren't really comparable anyway. So it's usually better to use this kind of butterfly look. Use some extra space between the cards to help people see the separation. And again, an accent color is nice here, but only use one. And if you need to do some light and dark variations of it, just mess with the saturation or the lightness, but don't change the hue. Just leave it on the same color value there. So I'll show you how to do that too. Another final example of how to emphasize data is to go black. Some people love this, some people hate it. Anyway, try to figure out who's going to look at your report and decide which kind of person they are. But you can tell, one can say one thing, the data certainly jumps off the screen when you do this. I see somebody shaking their head. He's like, no. Yeah, it might be bad to print this. I don't know what would happen if you did that, but you might get a bill for the ink or something. All right, so let's show you how to do all this stuff. Got to get my mouse pointer over here. Okay, so here's our basic table. So the first thing we're going to do is get rid of the fluff, right? So I'm going to select all my rows and say I do not want any borders. We don't like borders anymore. Except we're going to get rid of the bold here, right? We said we're going to do that. We're going to put one border. I'm going to choose cornflower blue here as my accent color, and I'm going to put one border just along the bottom of the header row. And then let's also dim the labels, like I said we should, right? I'm going to make these gray. And that's about it. There, we got rid of all the fluff. I need to pull that in again. That column's way too wide. Okay, much better. So what about indicators, status indicators? Let's do that for the harvested. Remember you said the rule was that when you're visualizing a rule, this one was, example one was 90, 95, and 100, right, are the boundaries. So what I'm going to do is insert a column to the right, and then I'm going to go down to this cell right here, and way down here, insert indicator. And here's all my choices. that I said you should mostly ignore and just choose this one right here. And you can shrink that way down now. Make a nice little dot. And when you click on that thing, you can see it doesn't have a data value yet. So we're going to pick something. We're going to pick harvested, except we need to mess with it because it's not exactly harvested. We want percent harvested. So I need to go in and do that same formula again. See, I'm really good at typing. And then we need to set up the rules. So I click on this properties here and go to values and states. Now these aren't going to be based on percentages of the set that I'm looking at. It's just hard, fast rules that are predefined. So I'm going to choose numeric as the measurement unit. I'm just going to put in some values here. So from 0 to 0.9 will be our red. From 0.9 to 0.95 will be our yellow. And from 0.95 up to 1 will be our green. And that is it. Oh, there's one more thing. Comes with a border. Got to get rid of it. All right. Ta-da! There you go. That's how you add an indicator to your report. So now let's go back and scratch that and put in a color scale instead. So the way I'm going to do that is, actually I'll just delete the indicator itself right there. I'm going to put in a little rectangle here. And I'm going to add another one out here. This is the one I'm just going to drop inside. My little square is going to have the color to it. Okay. Make that really narrow there. And then I can just pick that up and drop it. It should fit right in there. Control arrow and move it up a little bit. Line it up with the text. Okay. Now here comes the fun part. How do you do these color scales? Well, you have to add a little bit of code. So you see where I clicked out there? You have to click out here in the empty space to get this report properties thing and go here to your code. I don't have any code in here right now, but we can fix that. I will go and get some code. This is the code that is available on the blog that I have linked in the slide deck. And I'll show you what's in here. A bunch of color scale something values. There's some basic ones, color scale and color scale 3. That give you 2-value and 3-value scales based on colors that you pick. And then there's a bunch of predefined ones that actually match the set that you get in Excel 2010 when you do similar kind of conditional formatting. So here's for your handy use is the assembly reference that you need to add so that it can recognize color names. You just add an assembly reference and paste that in. And that's that. Now what we can do here, now that we've got that code, is we can go to the properties of this little rectangle we added and make the color, the fill color, be an expression. And that expression that I'm going to use is this. So I'm going to use the red, yellow, green function. I just put in, most of this here is just the same value that I told it to use. And then I just put in the low and the high values, and that's it. It'll do a red, yellow, green color scale between 0.8 and 1.0. And the value it's going to be based on is this percentage, harvested percentage that we have shown here. Now, unfortunately, it's not going to show anything interesting here, but when you run it, it will. Ta-da! Okay, so that's how you use color scales. You can create these little rectangle indicators. Now, if I go ahead and I'm going to delete this now and just format the background of this one instead. I'm sorry, not change that. I need to go to the text box properties and change the fill color. Here I could paste in the same expression, or because I happen to be on a text box that is already showing this value, it's even easier. I can just do me.value. See, it can't be much easier than that. And now, when I run it, you'll see that the text box itself has the color scale as the background color. So it said that was kind of an unusual thing to do unless you're doing a heat map. But you can see that a heat map, you just do the same thing over this one over here. You could use the red, white, blue like I did in the picture in the slide deck or some other colors that you felt were helpful for conveying the meaning you want to convey. So I'm going to show you, though, here how to, instead of using, let me change this background color back to nothing, and I'm going to color the text this time. So I click on the little placeholder here and go to placeholder properties, and I'm going to change the font color way over here. In this case, I am going to use a different color scale, because remember, when we're using text and lines, I don't know why I did that, sorry. When we're using text and lines, we need to use darker colors than the defaults that we use for fills. Otherwise, it won't be able to read it very well. So this is my new and improved. I'm going to use the color scale 3 function and just pass in the colors I want. And just plain old red, orange, and green actually work fine for text. So now when I run it, the text is colored. It almost looks yellow, doesn't it? Orange, a thin stripe of orange looks pretty yellow, and it actually works just fine. Even though people are thinking mentally yellow, it's actually an orange color, right? Okay, so that's enough about color scales. Let's do a sparkline. So I'm going to insert a column to the right here. I'm going to go into this cell and say, insert a sparkline. And I'm going to choose this one. I like these that have the area underneath them. That's if you want the magnitude to be interesting at all, if the magnitude is interesting at all, the area usually makes it better. Actually, let's just call it trend. Okay, I'm going to show the trend over time. It got a border, let's get rid of it. Let's put some data in here. It's going to show production values, and it's going to group by year. So it's going to show the production by year over time, right? So I just click on here and choose year. And then we got to make sure that our fill and line colors are what we want. I'm going to go in here to the series properties and make my fill color. What is fill supposed to be, light or dark? Fills are supposed to be light. Okay, so we're going to use light gray, and our borders are supposed to be dark, so we're going to use regular gray. All right? And there is a beautiful sparkline. Now, you might be tempted to make these big, but they actually are almost just as effective. They can be very effective even in a very small space, so don't be afraid to scrunch your sparklines. There they are. Now, we said it was fun to make these expandable if you have an interactive report that people are going to be viewing, you know, on a browser or something. So let's go ahead and do that. What I'm going to do is add a row above here outside the group. This is just going to have a text box that's going to have the little toggle button in it. So I'm going to call this show details. And then we have to, the way we're going to make this into the toggle for the group, we have to know what the text box name is. So I'm going to give it a good name. Text box 44 is not a good name. So I'm going to call it show details. And then what we're going to toggle with that is this year group. So I'm going to show and hide it, right? So I'm going to go here to the group properties, go to visibility and say, I want it hide it initially, and toggle it using the show details cell. Okay? Now there's actually, this doesn't fit and I want to make it span across there. So what I'm going to do, and I said this was a good idea to do anyway, is to go ahead and add a total for this. And here, it doesn't know what to do unless you say row or column, because it's, you can see those orange highlights, the little brackets. It's actually in a row scope and a column scope, so it doesn't know what's totally one. You have to choose one. And here we want a column total, so that's what it does for us. And we're going to call this production. And change that placeholder to summarize using average. And then I'm going to make sure I can merge all these cells across so I can get to see all that text. All right. Let's try that. Ta-da! Oh, I need to format that number. That was kind of ugly. Great. So here's the little expando button. And there you can see the details can be, you can show and hide the details by clicking that little toggle. All right. So I got it, because I copied this, inserted a row, it copied the formatting of it, and I didn't actually want it to copy that line, so I'm just going to get rid of that. Okay. So that's a spark line, and also the expandable spark line. So let's show a data bar. We did a data bar. We're going to add the yield field here. I'm going to stick it right in here. And I want this to be an average. Average yield per year. And now I'm going to show you a bug here. I usually don't demo bugs on stage, but I'm going to show you the bug so you know how to get around it. Okay? So what I was thinking of doing was inserting a row inside the state group below the current row and sticking my little data bar right in there, right? Insert data bar. Okay, there's my data bar. And I want it to be a little sliver of a thing, so I'm going to scrunch it way down here. And then I'm just going to copy. It's going to have the same exact value as this other one, so I'm just going to copy that expression and add it, click on it to select the thing. I'm going to go get this expression right here and just paste it in. Okay, so remember it's going to synchronize the axes by default, so you don't have to mess with that. All you have to do is just tell it what value to show. And off it goes, except you can see that it didn't make it skinny for some reason. And that is a known rendering bug. And we apologize profusely for it, but I'm going to show you how to get around it. I'm just going to cut this text box out and replace it with a rectangle and then paste it right back into the rectangle. Now what that does is it's going to allow me to put more stuff in that cell. See, that one's just staying right there. It's not expanding with the rest of it. And that other stuff I'm going to put in is this data bar. So I'm going to copy and paste that in there. Maybe a little control arrow to snug it up real tight there. And then you should be able to shrink that back down and get rid of this other row. Okay, now this time we should get a nice skinny data bar. And we do, except, oh, nobody told me that I wasn't putting it on the right column. You guys aren't helping me out here. It's supposed to be the yield column. Don't you guys know what my demo is supposed to be?
Yeah.
Oh, I better fix it. I'll be fast. Let's see, I do the same trick here. We're going to need it later, so that's why I'm fixing it. insert the rectangle, paste that back in, grab it out of here. Give me a little more room here. And fix that one back up. I think I even put the wrong expression into it. Yeah, that was kind of silly. I didn't need to do all that. So I'll just click here and change it. Or maybe I won't if it's too small. Let's do yield. And let's do average. All right, there we go. Right. There. Tuck that right back up. And now it should be much better. Now notice that the data bars naturally go from left to right, and that's kind of how people like to read them. And so it's actually common when you're doing this to change the typical alignment of the field that's showing the value and bring it over left aligned as well. Makes it a little bit easier to read. That thing's copying the color from the other one. We don't actually need it to do that. We just want a nice black value. Right. So that's data bars. Let me show you a SparkPy. Insert a column to the right. And what you insert, there's nothing called SparkPy in here, but if you just go to SparkLine, you'll see a pie. So that's what you pick. And there's my beautiful SparkPy. Shrink it down a little bit. And we're going to use production, except we want to use this percent of total thing. So I'm going to copy that expression here. Delete that and paste in the value I want it to show. And we're going to have a little fun here because it's like a one-value pie chart, right? So what is it grouping by? It's not grouping by anything. So we need to get rid of this. And what I'm going to do next is add another one that's exactly the same, except it's the target value. Or it's not the target value. It's the difference between the first one and the target value. So this is percent of total, so the target is 1. So I'm going to do 1 minus the first thing. So if I go here and grab my expression, I can do that same thing here, except put a little 1 minus in front of it. And that will be the other part of the little SparkPy. Okay, so now we wanted to use simple colors too. So I'm going to change the series properties for the first one will be the actual value. So this one we want to have a fill. We'll use light gray for the fill and gray for the border. And then we'll go here and use white for the fill for the remaining part. And again, gray for the border. And that is almost everything you need to do for a SparkPy. You can see if you look closely here, why don't I show you? See the orientation of the pie where it starts? It starts off to the right, this way for you. And what I really want it to do is start off straight up. So what I'm going to do is This is the one place in my whole presentation where you have to go use the property pane. But it's so well buried, I'm sure you're going to remember this. You need to click on the actual series in here and go down here to General, Custom Attributes, Pi Start Angle. Could that be buried anymore? 270 is what we want, straight up. It worked, see? Yeah, it's pointing straight up there. All right, let's get out of there quick. And there, oh, I bet I left the border on. I did. There almost was our beautiful spark pie. There it is. Okay, so that's how you make spark pie. There's a lot of different ways to emphasize data. You probably shouldn't use them all in one report like I'm doing here. It might start to look kind of hokey, but I just want you to have it all in your toolbox so you can decide when to use them, right? So for the last trick here, we're going to change this whole thing into a card layout. And I'm just going to need a bunch of extra rows, so I'm going to start inserting them inside my state group. Below, insert below, insert below, insert below. All right, I've got lots of rows. Now I'm going to get rid of my borders up here. I don't need this blue border anymore. I'm going to start cutting and pasting all this stuff into their new homes. So my labels are going over here. Cut, paste, cut, paste. Move this over here, this down here. Get this whole rectangle, put it down here. Go move my percent of total here. Get that over there. Get my average production over there. Get that one over here. Whoops. Grab my spark line. Oops, not there. I wanted it here. What happened? Where'd my spark line go? Here it is. Try that again. Cut. Paste. Bring that over here. All right, I'm not going to bring the spark pie along. I just thought it was a little too much. So we'll just leave that thing behind. We're going to delete all that stuff. Yes. And delete all this stuff. Yes. Now I got to do this butterfly alignment thing. Remember that? So I'm going to make all the labels go right. Come on. Sometimes it's hard to select the text box and not the text. Anybody else ever have that problem? Make this wide enough to see my labels. And let's make sure all these are going to be left justified. And this one also. And that should be a pretty good start. Now, I'm going to use this space over here for other stuff. So first I'm going to do is split it. So I get the state up there, and then I'm going to merge the rest of these down below. And I'm going to make this bigger, because when I'm doing a card, I just like the title to be big. So let's take a look and see what we've got so far. Starting to look like a card, right? That little bar on the, you can see why it's nice to have that little bar on the left side. It gives it something to kind of hang it all together. So I'm going to do that here. And actually, I need to do a little bit too much merging here. Whoops. I need to merge those. And those, because I remember I need to leave a space down here below that'll go in between each of the cards. So this one will be, these two right here will be my beautiful border. And that's obviously way too much, so I'll make it skinny. And then this will be the space in between the individual cards. Okay, so how do I get that picture? It's a little tricky. You could just paste in images if you have images, or you can look up images, use image URLs, point to a picture. I have some images of different types of lettuce. I was going to do a demo with that. I can show you how to make that map thing. It actually takes a few minutes. So maybe I'll probably put that one on my blog, and you can find it there. But it's kind of a while. You have to strip it all down and then kind of get it all centered on the state and stuff. But it's a cool thing to do when you're trying to visualize these state regions. But it's not really useful in other things, so I'm not going to demo it right now. So in the end, though, you'll end up with something very similar to what we had in the PowerPoint deck. So that is the end of our emphasized data section. So let's move on and start talking about our third section here. The third thing we want to talk about is how to choose the right visual, depending on what you're trying to communicate, because different visuals do different things. So first thing is just to reiterate, if you have a choice between this and something with a little more pop to it, obviously try to make your tables pop. There's a lot of options to improve on the basic look, and so go ahead and add something to it to help make the data jump out and be more understandable, make the insights more obvious. So make your tables pop. Here's a little quiz. Here's two different charts. They're showing exactly the same data. Which one is doing a better job of showing the data? The answer is the one on the left, because what we're seeing across the bottom is categories. There's really no reason to connect the dots between head lettuce and leaf lettuce, or leaf lettuce and romaine. And the connection when you use a line chart is just meaningless and even distracting. So when you're using categories, when you're showing categorical data, use bars, not lines. On the other hand, here's some similar data, except this time we're showing production by year. So which one's better, the bar or the line? The one that's more effective in this case is the line, because this data is actually sequential, and it makes sense to see the dots connected, and that helps you visualize the trends in the movement. You can see the slopes very quickly visually. So if you have a choice and you're showing sequential data, go ahead and use lines to help with that. What about you have lots of lines? Sometimes if you see reports like this, they can be tough to read. You have to visually look at the colors and try to figure out which line is which, and then they're kind of hard to see overlaying each other. This is only about 10 or 12 lines. I've seen worse. But another option is to use spark lines. Generally speaking, the spark lines are going to do a better job of communicating the same information that you see in that line chart. The only downside, potentially, is that you don't get as much precision on the height of the bar. I mean, you can see all the individual numbers here on the big chart. But you can actually show a little scale in a spark line, so that may be helpful as well. You can decide what you want to do there. But oftentimes, the spark lines are a better way to present this kind of information than a line chart with series. So consider, at least, using spark lines instead of line series. What about this one? Here we're trying to see the correlation between two metrics. I'm looking at percent harvested and yield, hundreds of pounds of lettuce per acre. So you'd think there might be some kind of correlation between those. Which one is more effective at making that correlation jump out? Well, they're both okay at it, but the scatter chart is actually quite a bit better. Look how easy it is to notice that Hawaii up there on the top left is an outlier. It just jumps out at you immediately to say, hey, this thing's bucking the trend. Something's unusual happening here. I think it happens to be bogus data. Hawaii is claiming 100% harvested, whereas none of the other states was actually hit 100. They're all close, 99-something. So it's probably just they weren't measuring that, and so they didn't have any real data in that case. So if you take that outlier out, then you can see there start to be a kind of a diagonal trend there. So use scatter charts when you're trying to communicate correlation. All right, so that's our short little trip about using the right visual. There's lots of other stuff you can read about when to use what and what's best at showing things. There's lots of literature and blogs and things like that. But these are some of the most important ones that we see a lot of that I hope will be most useful to you. So let's move on to our last section and talk about a few tricks, a few final tricks that I hope you'll find handy. We're going to talk about how to add clipboard data using an XML data source, how to integrate related data using a lookup function, how to display short lists using a lookup set function, and how to optimize your report for output to Excel. Because let's face it, in the end, that's what a lot of people want to do with your report, right? Okay, so clipboard data. Suppose you've been working hard on this lettuce research project and you find some great data out on the web about average sunshine percentages by state, and you managed to get it into Excel and mess with it, and you got it in an Excel table now. How do you get it into your report? Well, we'd really like this to be easy, and I'm going to bet that it probably will be in the near future, but that isn't in the product now, and it does take a little bit of doing, but it is possible, and I'm going to show you how to do it. It's not too hard. The key thing is to change the rows that you have in Excel into name value pairs, which is pretty easy to do in Excel. So let me show you. Then you'll do create functions like that, and then you'll just paste that data in as your query, and your query becomes your data. And then you can use that directly in your report. You have to wrap those with a little bit of standard GUI on the top and the bottom, but that stuff's pretty easy too. So let me show you how to do that. I'm going to open up my clipboard data report. Okay, so let me show you what I got from Excel. This is the source I found, the sunshine data. Ranking of cities based on percentage of annual possible sunshine in descending order, blah, 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 blah. So there's the data I found. I messed with it in Excel. I had to use this cool text to columns thing up here to take the data and turn it into columns. That was really helpful. Eventually, though, I got it into this table, and then I just went something like this, Control T, and make it into an actual Excel table. And then I'm going to add some extra columns that create the text that I need to paste in, because I can't paste this text in directly. So I'm going to do equals concatenate the header value with an equals symbol, followed by a quote. Now you have to do quote, quote to get a quote, so that ends up being quote, quote, quote. Followed by the value itself, followed by, of course, you have to end your quotes. That ends up being quote, 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 and then a space. And that gives you the first column. Okay? So if you did that again for each of the columns you're trying to paste over, and then you do the last column you add, I'll show you the finished product here. Here I did the first column like that. There's the second column. And then the last one, you just got to wrap it in something here. I just use X. Just a little angle bracket, an element name. Pick whatever you want, and then close it at the end, and then put all of those name value pairs that you wanted in the middle. Then you take that whole thing, all that, and you copy and paste that into, I'm going to go ahead and do that. You can see I've got some data from my lettuce data source, and then I created a data source. All it is choose XML from this list and click OK. Actually, you need to set this up here to current Windows user. It sets to do not use credentials by default, but anyway, go ahead and change the credentials so that works. And then here I've pre-populated this with the GUI that you need on either side, and you just paste your stuff in the middle. Go back up to the top. Now, if it's all text data, then you can just remove this element path thing. But if you have some numbers in there, or dates, something like that, then what you have to tell it something about the columns that it's supposed to return, because it's not going to guess them correctly. So what I'm going to do is, I have a number in here, so I'm going to tell it what columns to return. I want to return state and sunshine percent. And then I put in parentheses the type And I can use decimal or date. Those are two options that you're most likely to use. And that was kind of a pain, but it's better than having nothing, and it does work. So when I drag this stuff into a new table over here, my state and my sunshine percentage, I can actually see the data I had in Excel is now just pasted in directly into my report. Okay, so the next trick is about integrating related data. Now, if all the stars align and the planets and the moon is in the right phase and it's Tuesday and you're holding your tongue right, all your data for your report is going to be in one data source. But if all those things aren't true, you might have to pull some data from another data source, or maybe another one, or maybe a whole bunch of them. And you need to pull it all together because that's just what people want. And how do you do that? Well, here's a simple case. You have the same stuff I was just showing you, your state and yield data, and you want to see the sunshine percentage right next to it, right next to that state, right? Well, you can use the lookup function to do this, and it's really straightforward. You just type in the field you want to match on between the two data sets, and then the two fields that you want to match on, the first one, the one on this side, and the one on the other data set 2, and then the field you want to return from data set 2, and then you have the name of the data set that you want to pull it from. And that's all there is to that. So let me show you how to do that. I'm going to open up my integrated related data report. Now this is going to be fun because we're going to find some interesting correlations here. I'm going to do this on a pie chart instead of on a table. The same stuff here. And I never pasted in that stuff here. Guess I better do that. Right. Okay, now if we just run it the way it is, all it's just going to show me here is it's showing average yield on this axis over here, and it doesn't have anything specified yet for the x value. We want it to be sunshine percent, but that's coming from a different data set, so we haven't been able to do that yet, right? So here's what it looks like without the extra data. Now let's go ahead and put it in. Just going to put in the expression that I need here. And that is from my handy cheat sheet. Lookup fields code.value. So the code is what I've got in this data set. Lookup state in the other data set, the sunshine data set. Return the sunshine percent value and do all that with the sunshine data set. Okay. Now when I run it, hey, look at that. Data from two different data sets in one visual. Again, that's something we'd love to make easier, even easier in the future, but this is a really powerful and useful thing that you can do today. And it's a frequent request, and that's why we added it, so that you'd be able to do that. Now, the last thing I'm going to show you here is is how to create a short list. So say you've got regions of the country and all the states within those regions, and you don't really want the states all on separate rows. You just want to see them all together on one row like this. How do you do that? Well, there is a way to do that. And what you use is the lookup set function together with the join function, which basically just puts the commas in between them, right? So lookup set is going to go and look up all the states in the current region, and join's going to string them all together with a comma in between each one. So let me show you how to do that. Oh, and there's some extra code that will be on my blog as well. If the data doesn't happen to be sorted the way you want it, you can use join sorted, or if it has duplicates, you can use join distinct sorted. So let me show you how to do that. One thing to remember is that you can only match on one field here, so that will constrain some of the cases where you can use this, but it's still definitely valuable in the cases where you can. So let me show you how to do that. So here I've got my regions and my state codes. You can see they're all coming on individual rows. But that's not what I want. I wanted to see all the states on one row. So I'm going to change the label there, and I'm going to change this expression to be this lookup set thing. So instead of showing the code, one code for each value, I'm going to go and get a whole bunch of them and string them together, join them together into one long value. So there, I'm going to look up the set of values by matching region with myself. So I'm just doing a lookup to my own data set, right? Region to region, and return the state code value. And this is the data set that I'm working with. And then this argument right here just says put commas and spaces, comma and a space in between each one. And then when you do that, we should make a little more room because this is going to be a little wider now. That is not what I expected. Oh, I bet I know what happened. What we need to do is, I've got a detail group in here that's getting in the way because it's doing it over and over again. So I just got to get rid of that. That should be a little better. Ta-da! Okay? So that is how you can do short lists within a single cell. So for my very last trick, we're going to talk about output Excel. Suppose you built this beautiful report, has all the great visuals in it, everything's just, all the insights are popping off the page. People can't look at this without learning something, but still they don't want to do it, they just want to pull the data out and get to Excel, right? So you finally cave and decide you're going to go make that easy for them. And you try it, and the first time you try it, you get something like this. And you think at first, well, maybe that's okay. I'm not sure what's really going on here. But then you look at it a little closer, and there's all these funny labels at the top, and then there's columns with just text in them, and then there's all these empty spaces all over the place, and it's kind of a big mess, right? So you need to go back and figure out how to get this to look nice when you output it to Excel. First step is, of course, you got to try it, see what happens. If you have a very simple table, then it'll probably be just fine. But if you've done some of the fun stuff I showed you today, it might not be just fine. So one of the things you'll need to do is go through and set the text box names in tables, because those end up as the column headers in the Excel. This is when they export to CSV, right? Or set this group names in charts, same effect. If you have redundant visuals, like I have a value showing and then a data bar that shows the same thing or a little spark pie or whatever, you can turn off the output for those so that when they render, they don't contribute anything to the Excel output. You do this in the property pane, and that's where I'll show you how to do that. And then if you're really ambitious, you can actually add some extra hidden columns that only come out when they export, do a data export like this, and you can put some extra data in there that'll help them get everything they need out of that export. And then, of course, because they're hidden, you would have to force the output by turning the output on instead of leaving it on auto. So that, if I take that report that I was just showing you, that table, and I go through and do all those steps, this is what I get, which is much nicer and has all the data they're looking for. So I've got 44 seconds. I think I can show you that fast. Here's a couple more points if they're actually going to do rich Excel export. You might want to have the, if you're using page breaks to create pages in Excel, you can set the page name to be based on the data. And you might want to even do some specific visibility of elements based on the fact that they're rendering to Excel. That's up to you. I'm not going to show you that, but I am going to show you the CSV stuff before I tell you that I don't have any more tricks. All right, output to Excel. Here we go. Okay, if I just ran this right now and exported, I would get that ugly export, right? So what I'm going to do is go through and look at these value text boxes and rename them. I just want that to be state. I want this one to be average planted. You get the idea, right? So if I have one of these redundant visuals, I'll show you how to change, make that go away. Just go over here to this data element output, change that to no output. You do the same thing for the pie chart and for the sparkline. And then by the time you've done all that and renamed all those other ones, you should get I'll just jump right to the finish. I'll put to Excel after. See, I actually added some hidden columns here. They're hidden normally when they view the report, but they only show up when you're doing a data output. And I run this report. Looks the same. But when they export to here, they get goodness. And we'll show that here in Excel. There it is. And that wraps up our session for today. I am out of tricks. All right, hopefully you learned all this stuff and this was valuable for you. There's some related content. There's a few other breakout sessions. It'll be relevant to reporting services stuff. Hopefully you'll get a chance to try the hands-on lab with our new Power View functionality. And if you have questions for me, I'll be outside right after this, and I'll also be down at the demo stations, the database and business intelligence ones, several times during the conference. And thank you, and I hope you'll fill out your evaluations. And there's the tag to do it. Thank you very much.